Good morning. You're listening to On the Air, and I'm Glenn Coble, your moderator for the next almost 3 hours. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad that you tuned in. We'll be here till 1 o'clock, and I have a special guest this morning. He's going to be joining us probably in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. Mike Larson, who you may remember the name. Mike ran for office this past 2020. He ran for what I ran for back in 18. He ran for state representative of the 4th District, which is most of Marion County and most of Union County, and he was not the selected person, but he ran a good run, and we're going to have him on. He's really, I like having him on because he's so much more worldly wise than many of the people that, you know, just run for state office and really just do it as a lark. He did not do it as a lark, and nor did the other two. Jeff and Shannon both ran serious races. Those were the three Democrats that ran in the primary, and Shannon Freshour is the one that actually came out of the primary. But all of them ran serious races. There have been an awful lot of people, including yours truly, that weren't real sure we had a chance of winning, being a very Republican area district, and also a very Republican state, for that matter. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Mike before he comes on. Mike spent years as a stand-up performer. He was on Leno. He was on a lot of shows as a stand-up comedian. He was a very funny man. He was also a writer for several comedy shows. Ellen, Real Time with Bill Maher, which is probably one of his more famous. He ran with them for a long time. And The Drew Carey Show from Cleveland, I believe. He was also a, what do you call it? He worked on the Hill with Jackie Speier, who is still the current U.S. representative for California's 14th District, which is, I think, up there around San Francisco. And she went through a lot yesterday, I'm certain. We'll talk about that a lot with Mike. He was not there, but I'm going to ask him if he has had any contact with Jackie. Jackie was very close and very, values her mentorship that she gave him in politics, and he's been very active in politics. And then they moved out here because his wife wanted to move closer to her family and her home, and they lived in Los Angeles, but they moved out here to the little town down south of Marysville. I can't remember the name of that little town, and I've been in it so many times. But anyway, they moved down there. So and he's been very active in Union County politics for the last, I don't know, 5 years maybe. He received an Emmy for his writing. So he's not a nobody. He received several Writers Guild Award nominations for rewriting stuff on the Real Time with Bill Maher, which I guess it's going to go off the air now, but it was one of my favorite shows. I didn't have HBO, so I would kind of steal it off the YouTube. For other shows he's written other than The Real Time with Bill Maher. He wrote for Two Guys and a Girl. He wrote for Ellen, the Drew Carey Show, as I mentioned earlier. Rodney Show and The Reba Show. Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. And he also was a writer for Whoopi. He He also has an interesting sideline. When he was in California, he mentored many San Quentin prisoners. That's kind of a heart thing. You know, something I'm sure he didn't get paid for it. He just did it because he knew that those guys, and I doubt that he had any females, but the guys out there needed his help, and he did help them out. He's a very thoughtful person, even though he's very funny. And I'm sure you'll like listening to him. And I'm going to ask him all sorts of questions about all the stuff that went on yesterday. Was that a day or what? Kind of scary. Angering. The hyperbole has been way overused about almost everything in politics the last 4 years. But there aren't enough adjectives to really do yesterday justice. It was sad that we lost four people. That lady that was shot, and we still haven't found out why. But she was one of the, I guess you'd call them protesters. I didn't see much protesting except for saw a lot of anger. So I'll call her a protester. She was shot by the police and died. Very dramatic picture of it. When I got home yesterday from work and from doing my grocery shopping, the first thing I saw as I came in, they were wheeling her out on a gurney, trying to pump her heart up back, trying to pump her back alive is what they were trying to do. And you knew it was pretty bad, and then later found out that she had passed away. It didn't look like she was very old, but had a lot of blood. She was apparently shot in the chest. Haven't heard her name yet nor why she was there, but she was active with the people that were doing what they were doing. She passed away. And then I guess three other people passed away from health ailments. You know, there were a lot of old white guys like me that were way overweight like me, and there might have been some heart attacks and strokes and that sort of thing, but three other people died. And I'm going to talk in probably the second part of this show. I'm going to talk about what happens when you're at one of these events. I have participated in several protests, but only two or three that I can think of that were, you know, of major consequence. The one that I remember the most is I was at the 1968 Democratic Convention protest. You remember the Chicago 7 is where they were made famous. And we'll talk about that and maybe give you my psychology of why I was there and why I stayed. I was there because I was in Chicago for my draft physical, believe it or not. But why did I stay and why did I go down to the protest? That's another thing. And I think it has to do a lot with the psychology of people. Once you get involved and caught up in the excitement, I hate to say it that way, but it is exciting to be there. Once you get caught up in that, you tend not to control your own life. Now, people that want freedom and want to be able to do what they want to do should never be in a mob, because the mob is going to control you. You'll have no choice. I'll guarantee that, and I'll explain why I say that maybe a little later when I'm talking about my experience at the 1968 Chicago riot. I'm going to ask Mike about lots of things, from his feelings about the elections in Georgia, where Ossoff and Warnock got victories. I'm going to talk to him about whether it was insurrection or a protest. That's kind of a hard question to answer. I'm not even sure if you go into the dictionary and pull up the Well, I haven't done it, so I'm not going to say it. But I'm sure there are a lot of people that would say it was not an insurrection. I happen to think it probably was, but that's me. You know me. We're also going to talk about what may happen in the next couple of weeks. Well, let's see. I've got a phone call coming in. Let's see if we got Mike on the line. Mike, is that you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, how can I help you? You're on the air.
Yes. Yes, I was listening to you, and mm-hmm. I was just listening to you, and yesterday that wasn't anything but just like thugs, you know, going in there doing all that, you know, and that was just downright not right.
Did you happen to listen to Eleanor Clift just before I came on? She was with Scott. She's a pretty famous left-sided prognosticator, and she pretty much agreed with you, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty much thugs, because there's a difference between, I'm all for someone protesting something,
yeah,
or whatever,
sure,
you know, and going and, you know, speaking their mind and trying to, you know, get the world to a change, you know, because I'm all about change, but
yep,
for the good. But when you're going and you're killing, you know, and looting and something, and you're stealing or whatever they were doing yesterday, and, you know, that was just downright not right.
Well, Eleanor pointed out that the, what is it, not the Beastie Boys, the Boys, whatever that group is, that really instigated this. They've been around for years. And my wife looked it up and found out that they had been around since 1920-something. And they've done nothing but go and try to have fights.
Yeah, and it didn't help when Donald Trump was there riling them all up, you know. Like,
right, yeah. And
you
then,
know, rowdying them up, you know.
Did you hear his speech about... His speech telling them to calm down was really kind of tongue-in-cheek, I thought. It didn't seem like he really meant it.
Yeah, I just think he's just eating sour grapes, because he knows he's in 13 days he's gone.
Yeah.
And he's going to try to make the world a living, you know what.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's hope that we can better minds will control. Now, do you think that they will they'll try to impose the 25th Amendment on him?
I think so, because a lot of I watched the CNN last night, and they said that they could try to do that.
It's very difficult. First of all, they'd have to get Mr. Pence to sign off on it. The vice president has to be involved in it. And
that's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah, he's gone about as far as he can go without getting his lights put out from Mr.
But
Trump.
It was sad to see that woman die yesterday and all them people hurt, you know. And
it's always sad to see that, yeah. Yeah.
But I just wanted to call in, you know.
Okay.
And,
well, stay tuned, because we're going to have Mike Larson on here in about 2 minutes, and that's who I thought you were. And Mike has been involved in politics for a long time, and one of his mentors and good best friends is Jackie Speier, who is the congresswoman from up by San Francisco. And I'm going to ask him if he's had any contact with her, because she might have a lot to say.
Harding murdered President
right.
Harding.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back on the air. I'm Glenn Coble. We're on the air. That's the name of the show. And Mike, have you joined us?
I have.
Mike Larson. You know, I got a phone call about 3 minutes ago from a gentleman who really wanted to talk about how evil yesterday was. And I actually, we cut him off by accident. I wanted to apologize before I brought you on. I'm sorry, sir, if you got cut off. I appreciated what you were saying. How you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
Doing good. I'm glad that we're near the end here. I just the question is, you know, how much more of the country does he get to burn down before the door hits him in the butt?
Oh, okay, you know? Might as well jump right into it all. I sat up last night thinking of all the questions I wanted to ask you. That obviously was my first question. What do you think he can do? What do you think he will do if the 25th Amendment is not engaged? And I don't think it will be.
Well, yeah, I think we've learned with this president that there is no limit. I mean, how many times over the last 4 years, even before he was elected, did we say, well, that's the end of him. He can't go any further than that. And now he and guys like our Congressman Jordan egging on these people who are attacking the Capitol. I mean, Jim Jordan, it took him an hour and a half yesterday to even tweet anything about the attacks on the Capitol. And even then he said, support the Capitol police.
Yeah, now
he didn't say, get the hell out of the Capitol, you idiot. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I am hoping the FBI is investigating people like Jordan and his staff, because, you know, I worked on the Hill.
Yeah.
You can't get into the Capitol unless someone inside opens a door for you. I mean, no, later on they were breaking windows.
Yeah.
But that first rush,
they walked right in.
Someone opened the door for them, and I would guess it would be either members like Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz or people on their staff.
Well, now,
so I hope they're all investigated.
I hope they are too. Now, his Jordan, that was one of the questions I had to find out what you thought about his tweet. And his tweet was, I had it right here. Where did it go? Anyway, it was basically
stop the violence. Stop the violence. Capitol Police.
That's right. And that's
nothing
it.
Nothing about you, about them. Remember, I mean, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, a football player took a knee, and Jordan was ready to throw the guy in federal prison.
Right.
The fact that these, and you know, we have to say something that if those protesters were black, do you think they would have gotten within 100 yards of the Capitol?
I can't tell you how many times my wife and I looked at each other and said, if they were black, they'd be dead.
Oh, thousands would be dead today. Absolutely, yeah. They would not have gotten onto the Capitol grounds.
Well, one of the things I also wanted to mention to you, Mike, before we go too far, is for the 15 minutes that I was on before you got on, I did give your credits, and you are a very famous man. One of the credits I talked about is that you worked for Jackie Speier. And
yes.
I was just wondering, have you had a chance to check in with her today or yesterday afternoon?
Between the congresswoman and members of her staff, yes. It's funny because we texted each other before that morning because we still haven't been able to have our kind of family Zoom call to thank each other for Christmas presents. So she said, after the vote tonight, let's get on a Zoom call. So
I
obviously didn't that didn't happen last night.
No.
But she posted a fairly long thing on Facebook while in hiding. You know, remember her her whole backstory of Jonestown and being shot and left for dead. So, you know, I knew that it was stressful for anyone, but I just knowing what she has been through in her life, I know that it was especially stressful for her.
She was shot 7 times, wasn't she? Something like that.
Yes, and left for dead by the People's Temple assassins. So, but she wrote a thing about it was really pretty moving about how this brings back these memories, but also just about, you know, these tyrannical dictators, whether it be Jim Jones or Donald Trump, who believe that any means necessary is okay because they are meant to be in power, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I ask you, do you think the insurrection, and I'll give you my take on it, but I want to know if you think the insurrection was orchestrated. And the reason why I say that is the president gave his speech and then he told all the people to go to the Capitol. He didn't go to the Capitol. They all walked towards the Capitol. They all seemed very peaceful walking towards the Capitol. I was wondering if maybe they weren't met by a group, and it was pre-orchestrated, met by the whatever the boys are, and they started the, you know, the bad stuff. If you're in a mob like that, you go along.
Sure, and in any group.
Yeah.
There are people there as the rear guard that want to chant slogans and be peaceful, which is where you and I would be, and
yeah.
then there's the advance guard that. But yeah, it absolutely was planned. I mean, these people who showed up carrying things like grappling equipment
yeah.
and you know, things to break windows. They didn't find those at the Capitol.
No.
They brought those with them. There's a picture of a guy jumping over a barrier, holding a handful of zip ties
yeah.
as if he was going to, you know, kidnap members of Congress. You don't just find that on the way.
No.
You know, you leave your town. And the Proud Boys, they were in town days before. You know, one
right.
of the guys was arrested 2 days before.
And a lot of people don't realize that they've been doing that same stuff since the 1920s. The
right.
Proud
and the
Boys.
The more recent part, these guys, and there's another group called the Boogaloo Boys,
yeah.
which you're wearing in a Hawaiian shirt, and you saw a number of those yesterday. So, yeah, I think, and the plan was always to march to the Capitol. It's not like Donald Trump instructed them to, he knew that was the plan, and so he egged them on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And did you see Giuliani said it was going to be a trial by combat?
Now,
I mean, you know, that Mo Brooks, the congressman from Alabama, said, okay, you vote, you protest. What else can you do? I mean, these guys, they're all part of this, whether they were plotting it or just encouraging it. These are grown men who've been in politics a long, long time, and they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, and why they thought that, my question is, why did they not know what was going to go on, so much so that there were very few police, very few Capitol Police, or, you know, there was nobody there to take care of it. Had it been black people, a black person's demonstration, there would have been more police than there were demonstrators.
Oh, absolutely. And the National Guard would have been called.
You yes.
know, the mayor of D.C. requested the National Guard, and Trump turned them down because he knew it was going to be his people.
Yeah.
And it took Mike Pence calling from a bunker in Capitol Hill to the Defense Department before they finally released the National Guard. So, yeah, these guys, and they're all, you know, it was one of the things as it was happening, people were saying, are you surprised? I said, half of me is shocked to see the Capitol under siege by Americans.
Yeah.
And the other half of me says, why did it take so long? You know, they've been threatening this since he began.
Yeah. Now, you were there for a while. How long were
yes.
you in Washington?
I worked for the congressman for about 5 years, from 08 to, I think, late 12.
When you
but I was there during the Tea Party demonstration.
Ah.
And back then, there was a real problem with Republican members of Congress letting Tea Party people pass secure areas. So you would be walking down the huh. hall somewhere, and suddenly there'd be a mob of Tea Party people. And
wow.
it was always there, you know, some staffer or a member of Congress let them in a back door.
Yeah.
And so that's why when I first saw the first people who showed up, you know, it was like during someone was testifying on the House floor, and we just heard some Yahoo yell something.
Yeah.
And my first thought was, somebody opened the door. They let them in, you
yep.
know.
And they were walking around like they owned the place. So they weren't worried.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't worried.
Right. And, you know, the caller before you had mentioned that they were thugs. And, yeah, thugs, I guess. But that almost absolves them of responsibility.
Yeah.
They were there committing a political crime. I mean, even if they're idiots, and their idea of a political crime is throwing papers off Nancy Pelosi's desk, it is a political crime. You know, it's not someone, a kid painting graffiti on a side of a building
yeah.
or, you know, breaking windows because it's fun to break windows. They were there to make a political statement.
So it sounds like it sounds like you believe that it was pre-ordered by somebody.
Oh, I think. Well, I don't know if it came if it's a top-down thing, but certainly there were hundreds of people who showed up in Washington at the direction of the president, and their plan was to wreak havoc. And whether it was what would have been their wet dream? A kidnapping Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
Or Mike Pence?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I mean, they didn't, thank God, they did not get the opportunity to do that. But, who you know, could it? I mean, we had those idiots in Michigan were trying to kidnap the governor.
Right. Yeah.
I will say one thing. I really was happy to see David DeVillers, who is our U.S. attorney in this part of Ohio, and a Trump employee or a Trump appointee. He went out of his way that said anyone from the Central District of Ohio who went to Washington
will be
to cause trouble will be prosecuted.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really great that you can't run home and hide.
Yeah, I thought that was too. There was another state that did the same thing, and I can't remember who it was. But
right, and these guys are Trump appointees; they're not claiming liberals. Yeah.
Well, I keep thinking in the back of my head. That there were some people from the Republican Party that were doing honorable things, but it might have been a little late.
Well, I think there, you know, it's funny because always people ask me, like, do you like this politician or like, and there's a difference. Like, I really, when I worked on the Hill, one of my favorite people was Jeff Flake, who was a congressman at the time and then became a senator. He could not be more conservative, but he is a good person.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say the same thing about Mitt Romney, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee. There are these very, very, very conservative Republicans.
But principled people. Yeah.
Right, and they believe in democracy. Like, you know, I was furious when Trump won in 2016, but I was never one of those people that said he's not my president.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, we have a crappy president, that's all.
Yeah.
I think there were, and Jim Lankford, a senator who was one of the people who was challenging the elections, which I was surprised beforehand, but afterwards he gave a really good speech about, you know, enough is enough, and, you know, we have to think of our country, and I thought that was really great for him to do.
Yeah, I wish they had all said that about 3 years ago, but anyway.
Yeah, well, and you know the thing with now, I mean, Jim Jordan is not an ignorant man. He knows the election fraud thing is BS. He knows it's a lie.
Well, let's hope he does.
It helps his political cause to go along with Trump's lie. Trump knows it's a lie. They all know it's a lie. And that's the thing that is most maddening about all of this, is that if this was about abortion or, you know, something where they have absolutely different dyed-in-the-wool beliefs than I do, I would understand. But the fact that it's all predicated on a lie to boost up Trump's ego, and really that's what we're going to sacrifice the country over? One man's ego?
Yeah, well, we've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, this...
You
this...
know, Scott, when President Trump...
Oh, I'm sorry, hang on.
President, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind...
There we go. I got it off. I'm sorry about that. We're kind of talking about, well, we've mentioned the 25th Amendment. And I put this on my Twitter feed. If the 25th Amendment doesn't work, a straitjacket might. And I, within about 5 hours, I had 172 people that had noticed that.
Right.
Now, I'm not a big Twitter person like you are. I mean, you have thousands of people. But that's about as big as I ever get. So, obviously, there are a lot of people that think this president may be a little bit off the rocker. What do you think?
Oh, do you think there's anyone who doesn't? I would think even Ivanka and Donald Jr. at night go, whoa, Dad is nuts. You know, my old boss, Jackie, said the 25th Amendment should be invoked back when he was talking about very fine people in Charlottesville.
Uh-huh.
And again, last night she posted that, you know, come on already. That's the only way to get him out within the next 2 weeks would be for Pence and half the cabinet to agree to the 25th Amendment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I got to think a good half of the cabinet are waiting on pardons, you know?
Yeah.
He has so many crooks in his administration, like, you know, guys like, you know, Pompeo.
Yeah.
Is not going to, you know, he needs a pardon. Now, maybe Pence could make a deal and say, go with this and then I'll pardon all y'all. But,
yeah.
But Pence wants to run for president himself.
Yeah. Well, so does Pompeo.
Oh, right, right. Well, and Pence is another one. You know, I absolutely disdain Mike Pence, and were Donald Trump not in politics, Mike Pence would be my least favorite person in American politics.
Yeah, me too.
But last night, he did, you know, the thing he said when they came back into session was healing. And mm-hmm. It was kind of nice to say, see, there are people, even people who I think their politics are reprehensible, still understand what America is.
Yeah, his speech when he came back in was very good, I thought.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and it would seem like, you know, I mean, Trump, even when he's, you know, they say, oh, he's going to make a statement. And in fact, someone on NPR, when they were saying, is Trump going to make a statement about this? She's like, well, that's a catch-22, isn't it? Because if the president doesn't denounce it, that's horrible.
Yeah.
If he does denounce it, we all know he's going to mess it up.
Yeah, he can't say anything right.
Right, and even then, he said, yes, they stole this landslide from me, and they're still throwing fuel on the fire.
Yeah, it's aggravating. But fortunately, we have 13 days and some hours until Inauguration Day. So,
well, and something good that came from what happened last night is a couple things. One,
okay,
to show America that it has never been the left that you had to be afraid of.
Right.
It has always
Correct.
Been right-wing mobs that are going to do violence. I mean, yes, there are idiots in Portland and these cities who burn down buildings, and those are all jerks, and yeah, we don't like any of those people. No left-wing group would ever be allowed to get within two blocks of the Capitol building. And the problem is these right-wing groups have so much support within police and military circles that they're given a pass.
Yeah.
And that's the most frightening thing about all of this.
Well,
and I think, you know, the police have got to step up and acknowledge that whether you agree with them or not, you have a job to do.
What do you? Ohio is now going to be a stand your ground state.
Yes.
What would that have done? I think Washington D.C. is not a stand your ground.
Oh God, no. Yeah.
But they went in with guns anyway. So how are we ever going to solve that problem? And I don't want to take guns away from hunters. I don't want to take guns away from people that are nervous, you know, little old ladies that want to have a shotgun in case somebody wants
right.
to come rob them. But
no,
somehow or other, we've got
to... you want to own guns because you get off shooting in your backyard. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, right, the stand your ground thing, the idea that your first impulse should not be self-preservation, but should be attack, is it goes against human nature. You know, the law before, we always had the right to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
We just, our first responsibility was to see if there was a safe way of getting away.
Yeah. Well, you know? Most animals, they run before they fight. They only fight when they have to fight. Yeah.
Right, and most, you know, the most likely, you know, end situation in a stand your ground is that both people are killed, or, you know, the guy who sticks down is killed because the other person's a criminal.
Yeah.
He's probably going to shoot first. But, yeah, it's ridiculous, you know, and it just shows you Mike DeWine, who was showing signs of being a competent, you know, conservative, but not a firebrand governor.
Yeah.
Now he's so aware of the fact that he's going to get challenged on the right by someone like Jordan or one of these other right-wing guys.
Yeah.
That now, right the day before he signed Stand Your Ground, he signed the stupid law that fetal tissue has to have a burial, which is not even a legal requirement for a human being.
Hopefully we'll get through this. I don't know.
Well, the 13 days is the important thing here, just to keep him under control. That was the other point I was going to make. The good thing that came out of yesterday, I think that it scared the pants off a few people who have Trump's ear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it even scared Trump a little bit. We won't know because he's been kicked off Twitter. I think he gets back on today.
Is that right? I knew he'd been kicked off. I didn't know he was going to be back on.
Yeah, I think it was something like 12 hours or something, which has still been a very nice 12 hours that he hasn't been tweeting. We'll see when he comes back, but I have no idea.
What are you concerned that may happen in the next 2 weeks?
That he attacks Iran. He's a petulant child with the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
And he wants to make Biden's life as difficult as possible so that he can come back. I mean, you know, January 21st, he's going to be blaming the coronavirus on Biden, he could start a war. He could, declassify a bunch of information to benefit Putin.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who works in D.C. in the, I think, general accounting. I don't know what department, but he said, you know, when you're the president, you can order anything for the White House from any museum in the federal collection. So you could say, I want the Declaration of Independence in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said that they've been concerned for months. They've been keeping track of what the White House has been requesting because they're afraid they're just going to loot the government on their way out the door, which I don't think any of us would put it past him and Melania to do that.
No. If they could get some money out of it, they might take it, yeah.
Right, right.
I don't think they're cultured enough to want the good stuff, but...
anything gold.
Hey, I gotta ask you, we've only got about 7 more minutes, but I gotta ask you your feelings about the Georgia election with Ossoff and Warnock winning.
Oh man, that was wonderful. I had the opportunity about 2 months ago of meeting both of them on a Zoom call with a small group of people. A friend of mine said, hey, get on the Zoom call, Ossoff and Warnock will be on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both just so, not only smart people, but just down to earth, you know.
A black nice man and a Jew. love it.
In Georgia,
yeah.
But really, to get the difference between having the Senate and not having the Senate, it means Biden gets his cabinet picks, and we can actually have a capable government, you know, again. And there will, I mean, Biden's going to screw up.
Sure.
I've never known a president that I didn't get mad at it eventually, and I'm sure he'll do something that'll...
Yeah, of course he will.
But at least we get a little bit of normalcy and competence.
Yeah.
You know, which would be nice.
Take, have a breath of fresh air for a little while, yeah.
Right. Well, and I say, I look forward to going a week without hearing anything about my president, you know?
Yeah, especially anything that you can't tell whether it's true or not.
Right.
Okay, I've got to ask you, because we only have 4 minutes and seconds left to go, I've got to ask you this question. As I tried to help as much as I could when you ran for office, are you going to try again?
I doubt it, and not because I don't love running for office and talking to people. The money raising is just...
Oh, I hated that.
It's obscene.
Yeah.
I'm sucked at it. I really did. I
Me too.
I wasn't going to be great at it, but, you know, I could see at some point if there was a need of running for my whatever township trustee or something where you can do it on $500.
Yeah.
Know? But yeah.
If I can find a really good fundraiser, I'm going to come knock on your door and see if I can't be your helper.
Okay.
Because I think you would have been a terrific state rep.
Well, I appreciate
and you
that.
Wouldn't have taken $60 million from a householder.
No. Well, it'll be curious also to see with the new maps when they reapportion and see if we get fair district somewhere.
When is that scheduled, do you know?
Well, it'll be for the next election, so for 2022. So I think sometime, you know, they haven't even finished the census yet. And thank God, actually, that got pushed into the Biden administration so Trump can stop his shenanigans.
Yeah.
I think by the end of 21, we have to know what the districts are. I mean, I'm really excited this year, though, of the governor's race, and I'm hoping the Dayton mayor Dan Whaley runs against DeWine.
Okay.
I think she's fantastic. I would love to get involved in that.
Uh huh.
But yeah. So.
Well, we've only like I said, we only have about 3.5 minutes to go. But I wanted to, if you do decide to get in. Would you come on my show and tell everybody?
Of course. You know, I'll always come on your show. You're fun to talk to.
Well, I appreciate that.
When this darn virus is over, we got to get together for lunch again.
Yes, absolutely. I am not going to run again, by the way.
Yeah.
I keep toying with it, though. You know, that's terrible. I'm 74 years old, and I keep thinking, I know I would have been better than the person that won.
Well, you would be good, right? But at least you have a voice. It's great that you have this show and you have a platform, which is good.
That's why I keep the show, because I think it gives me an opportunity to tell people what I think. And I know there are a lot of people that turn my show off, and that's my Wednesday show, A Progressive Life. There are also some people that have let me know that it's a breath of fresh air for them. So that's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, how's your wife?
The family's doing good.
How did you ever get such a beautiful wife? I don't understand that.
Well, I think I've said this before. For some reason, God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to make beautiful women attracted to goofy guys with senses of humor. And thank God for that. That is proof alone that God exists for me.
Well, tell her hi. I've only met her twice, but tell her hi for me because she as soon as I met her, I knew I loved her.
Well, honestly, if anyone in this family could win, she would be a great candidate.
Yeah, and she's smart about politics, too, from what I understand.
Very smart.
Yeah.
She really knows politics, So.
All right, well, we're down to the final minute. Actually, we're under a minute. And if you got any last thing you want to say, we'll close her out here.
Nothing, just Happy New Year. And
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all of my friends up in Marion. And whatever happens this year, it's going to be better than 2020. So there's something we can hang our hat on.
Absolutely. Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to call you in a month or two or three, and we'll do this again. Is that all right?
That's good.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Mike Larson, one of my friends in politics, and I'm glad that Jackie Spear is doing fine. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm getting a phone call. I love these. I'm getting a phone call from a place that I have never been to. How many times does that happen to you? Oh, well, we're out of here. Have a good day.